From Studio Live in beautiful Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef and your host, Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. We'd like to thank you for joining us again as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
And we're hoping to encourage you to explore your own Edible Valley out there to learn more about your food and where it comes from. Well, I thought, you know, we have this podcast and I want to rant a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
I do. I got a little frustrated. I want to say that I walked into a grocery store the other day, and I'm not going to name the grocery store because I don't think that's fair, because I think they're all just as bad
for this
one subject. But I come walking in there and I was thinking, oh, what a beautiful day to barbecue. And I walked in the door and there was corn sitting on the shelf. All beautifully wrapped in saran wrap, little styrofoam cases under them, and they just such beautiful yellow corn. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, but the corn already has its own case. Why are we putting a second case on it? And so that's my little bit of a rant. Where did we lose our way?
Yeah.
Where did we lose our way? And we went, let's reduce, reuse, and recycle. And for me, I feel like we've kind of lost touch with that, and I think we're going...
We've kind of stalled out on it.
Yeah, and now it's about looking at prettiness instead of thinking about what we're actually selling.
Yeah, I feel, I can agree to that. My parents, when they were younger, and maybe even the generation before more so, when you look at our grandparents, things didn't have packaging. I mean, even though that was sort of the time of automation and food preserving on a large scale, and you start getting these mass food producers, you know, that was, they start, of course they started bringing in packaging, but still, like, I mean, you'd go into a grocery store and look at the, say, produce department, and produce was just produce. Like, it didn't need to be, you know, vacuum packed and on a styrofoam tray and whatever, as you're saying. You know, I think we all became aware of it a few years ago, maybe a couple of decades ago, and really made an effort to start reducing. But yeah, it seems like we've stalled out. Like, I'm starting to see a lot of packaging, especially unnecessary packaging, start to creep back up.
Well, and I think you got to look at it that, I mean, I went and just did a quick Google search on it.
Yeah.
And we're talking like there's more than 300 metric tons of plastic produced every year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
And especially when you think about this, this doesn't break down.
Yeah.
And that even for it to break down to a microscopic level or whatever it be, is it's like we're talking 500 to 1,000 years, but no one actually knows if that's really what's going to happen.
Right, right. That's like, the estimate. We haven't actually had that much time go by yet.
Yeah, we haven't had plastics for even 100 years to be able to prove that, to know what happens to it after this time.
I'm gonna toot my own horn here. The only time that I've ever been 100% responsible for food output is been my sushi cart, my food truck, what have you. And I right on the outset, right from day one, I knew that I wanted every single thing to be compostable or easily recycled. I did. I mean, I used every single container was made out of, they call it, it's misleading because it's called PLA in capital letters stick. Essentially it's pressed corn sugar and pressed corn starch rather. It doesn't hold up very well. It actually has a melting point of like 108 degrees. So on a really hot day, it starts to melt. Or if you put something really hot in it, it starts to go. But it's a trade-off. People are willing to go. When I say you can put this in your compost and next year it's gone. It's just become gone back to being dirt or compost.
Right.
There's a trade-off. People are like, well, I'll take a wilty plate that's going to, you know, instead of one that's going to last for who knows how long. And so that was definitely, you know, I set out to do that. And that's where I that was at a time when I was really paying attention and looking around when I was getting started. Felt like everybody was really making a strong effort at that time. And there was a lot of new products coming forth that were made in that vein. Like in this last 5 years, we took a giant step back and it just, there's plastic everywhere all over again.
Yeah. Well, and I think we have to realize that we can blame the big companies for doing this, but it's actually consumer driven.
Yeah.
And it's our own fault because we buy for prettiness. We buy for that look.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I had a conversation. It was quite a funny conversation with a distributor.
Right.
One of the managers at a distributor.
Which is key. I mean, this is somebody that's directly responsible for presenting the food the way
to the restaurants. Like he wants to bring the products in. And we had a guest at the restaurant who had a complaint about straws. And they're like, why don't you have compostable straws or reusable straws?
Yeah.
And honestly, it had been something that we'd never even thought of.
Right.
You know, because it was just part of service that when you got a drink, it came with a straw.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, that straw literally sits in your cup for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You drink your, or maybe a for little really, bit longer.
Yeah. A super quick sidebar, just before you go further. I owned a nightclub for 10 years, and I would throw out a garbage bag full of straws every night. And that's why when I got into the sushi truck, I was like, I'm never throwing away another straw. Like, it's going to be composted or it's never going to be used at all. But well, anyways.
Exactly. And that's the thing is you're getting a drink and you're getting a straw and you have that for whatever the life that you have that drink there, and then it's automatically thrown away.
Yeah.
And that doesn't break down. It doesn't.
No, it's gross.
It's just there, right? And so then we have to deal with that problem for years and years to come. Anyways, but when we approached the distributor and said this, he's like, that's not what we do. We're here to provide you what you ask for. We're not here to tell you what you should use.
Right.
And so it's up to us to go, this is what we need to do, and we need to look at what we're buying.
Which, yeah, it's absolutely key. You're talking to a major rep, and you have a major account with one of the major distributors of Western Canada and beyond.
Right.
And, you know, that's a key point. He said, we're not here to try to tell you what products to buy. We just provide the products you ask for. So thereby, absolutely, consumer demand. Like,
yeah,
they're going to keep presenting things that way because when you go and buy it, you're telling them that you want that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, I sort of see why this is, why we've kind of spiraled down into this. I mean, why do we use plastics on everything? Well, it's easy to use.
Yeah,
it's and true. And I know this for working in the restaurants, Saran wrap. And I'm trying to cut back on it. But, you know, just to keep it a food safe point of view, everything has to be wrapped. Everything has to be sealed. Everything.
Yeah.
Compartmentalized.
Yeah.
You know, you want to keep everything separate. You don't want to have cross contamination. And so Saran wrap's a really quick and easy way to make sure that things don't spoil, don't go rotten, don't get dried out.
Don't come into contact with another thing.
Yeah. Something spills on it.
Right.
It's deflected away. It's easy that way.
Right.
So, but how do you work around that? Now it's like looking at it going in low. No, let's get buckets with lids. Let's get
reusable
things.
And even, I think it's even key in not going out and buying new products. You're reusing buckets that have come into your hands through food service.
Right.
And you're keeping them there. You're not creating new plastic for this. The plastic that you're burdened with, you're making sure it gets reused and reused and reused.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course. A lot of the supermarkets and that use a lot of plastics just because it's easier to preserve. It's also, I mean, they can contain something in a box instead of, if you only need one tomato, but they got a box with three in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll take the box of three and I'll figure out what to do with that other one later, right?
Right.
So, but I just realized, I think that maybe we should start looking at that and stop going for those items just to, and actually spending that time to really educate ourselves and realizing that actually all these wonderful ingredients and beautiful food is already prepackaged for us.
Yeah.
And it's just ready to go. And maybe just a little rinse of water, definitely a rinse of water before you consume it is all it really needs. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you know, more, coming back to that point of as a consumer, you can go into, you have a choice and you affect change. By A, if you run into a grocery store that won't change for you, for one, go to a different grocery store. But if you can find a grocery store that'll either A, give you the option of buying a lesser wrapped product, or if you can find, or if you can convince the grocery store to move to, if they need to be using those products, maybe something a little healthier, a little, you know, more socially conscious or environmentally conscious, you know, maybe they'll come around. But I mean, there's options, and this is what you're saying is, you know, we need to take it back. We need to take back the control of pushing those options.
Yeah, a little bit. And I hate to say it, but a little bit is going to cost us more.
Yeah, it's true.
But I think that's maybe short-term sightedness.
Yeah.
And then maybe we have to look at this more of a long-term, because if we have 300 metric tons every year of plastic going into the planet.
Yeah.
That gets a little ridiculous.
And that's probably just a food statistic.
No, I think that's just plastic in general.
Just plastic in general.
Wow. Yeah. So yeah, and it's going to be here for 500 to 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, but I mean, I'm taking for a water bottle to break down.
Like, yeah.
But I know, like plastic bags. People can argue these facts like, oh, it's right. off by this amount of time. But then when it breaks down, where is it going?
Yeah.
I mean, I've even heard stuff of that, you know, a lot of this micro plastic is floating around and fish are ingesting it. And then we're ingesting those fish with this
right. those plastic. Micro beads as they...
Yeah, and I can't see that being a good thing for us in any way, and not
right.
that I want to scare people away from eating fish, but I just want them to start
right, right.
looking at the future of their products and
just how
going.
Far spread and widespread yeah. that this problem does. I think, too, that when you were first talking about doing this, like whatever it was a few days ago, you said that you were trying to come up with solutions. Do you have a few?
Yeah, well, I kind of just spitballed a couple ideas that were just like, you know, like common sense things you can do at home to
right.
to do your own part.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to look at a lot of places are banning plastic bags just in general.
Right,
right. Like the plastic bag, you know, because
right.
they're realizing what destruction they're doing. They're getting caught up in things. They gum up everything, and so it's kind of easier.
Mm-hmm.
They blow away really easy. I know I've caught myself chasing a plastic bag down the street.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically just going in with a reusable shopping bag. And
yeah.
I know I'm the worst for it because I'm not a pre-planner.
Yeah.
And honestly, I hate just carrying this empty bag around
yeah.
the grocery store. And I'm like, how many am I going to need?
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's a good way to start, you know,
yeah.
just start taking that time to have your own,
absolutely.
Own bag there. So,
yeah. There's definitely that, or the paper bag. I mean, I'm not going to get too into it right now, but I like the idea of using the brown paper bag because if I have to, if I don't have my shopping bags, because they are compostable. In fact, in some compost, you seek that out. You want that,
oh, yeah.
that paper. My only concern is I don't know the origin of the ink. You know, if as long as I know that the ink that they use to print their company logo or whatever, as long as that ink is food safe or maybe derived from a food product, like I know that there's lots of vegetable based inks out there and they actually are really cheap.
Right.
So I you know, at that point, yeah, then I'm actually for them because yes, it's convenient and yes, whatever, but it's actually going to help my garden down
yeah,
the road.
Yeah, so take that paper bag home.
Yeah.
All the leftover when you bought the 6 tomatoes yeah. in the plastic container and
yeah.
2 of them spoil, throw yeah. them in that paper bag and compost it all together.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Anyways, but I was thinking around and this is something I'm working on in my own, in the restaurant. And
yeah.
It's difficult because there's a lot of wheels turning and there's mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know, so we're trying to get into composting. We're trying to get
right.
into all that stuff.
That's been fantastic. Seeing a lot of the food waste actually get repurposed lately.
Yeah.
Seeing it going to the farms.
We're sending out to some farms to,
yeah.
To feed some pigs and stuff like
yeah.
that, but it's definitely, you know, segmenting what goes in what goes
right.
where. But then just little things like around the house, mason jars are mm-hmm. such a great way of storing things.
Mm-hmm.
Not only if you're going to be pickling later on, which we definitely encourage you to
yeah.
to check out and get into, for preserving for yourself, because you can get such nutritious stuff straight
yeah.
from a farmer's market, pickle it that night.
Yeah.
You've saved everything, right? Like
yeah.
it's just going to be golden when you
yeah.
get a chance to get into it when you're actually available. Definitely, you know, like things I'm looking at, like there's that new beeswax paper and I
yeah.
don't want just to promote that, but it's like it's a piece of paper that lasts up to a year, I think they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they just wrap around, you use the heat of your hand to seal it. So it works a lot.
Right, because beeswax is pretty malleable. You can do a
yeah.
lot with it.
And it's sort of like an oiled cloth. So
right.
it'll stick to your pot or stick to itself, and so you
stick
can use
bowl.
It and you can
yeah.
wash it off and reusable. So
oh wow,
I thought that was an interesting idea.
Yeah.
You know what, here's something that no one ever you got leftovers
mm-hmm.
and you're going to put them away instead of saran wrapping them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping you have a second plate. One plate on top of the other.
I do it all the time, and my kids are like, oh, that's low rent, like that makes us look like whatever. And but at the same time, I'm just like, it's the perfect shape to cover it because they're from the same, like the plates are identical.
Yeah.
So it's the perfect way to cover it. You're going to get full coverage. And,
exactly.
And if, you know, yeah.
It may dry out a little bit more.
Tiny bit.
But you know what? Like if
yeah.
you're going to be eating it the next day.
Yeah.
it's perfect, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely reusable sandwich bags are great to use.
Yeah.
I know you were talking about you got your kids on them.
Yeah, I didn't actually. It was my ex-wife. They started, the kids would come home from school and they had these and I didn't even know what they were. I thought they were fussy and redundant until I noticed, even after the course of maybe a couple of months, I was like, wow, like we never have to buy sandwich bags again. We don't have to buy saran wrap or whatever, how we were packaging before. And now I swear by them. Like that was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah. And so what, you have to wash them, you know, like big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I find like having just little containers and just mm-hmm. refilling them, but then finding the lid for the container, that's always like kills me, is going through and trying to find the right lid for the right container.
Oh, I know.
I also thought, you know, like let's look at going back to aluminum foil, because you can reuse it. Like it's
true. I think that's the key, is reusing aluminum foil. A lot of people think it's a one-time use, but no, it's it's metal. It's reuse it. Like you can do a lot with it before it's, you know, met its shelf life. Or
it's also recyclable, so you can throw it in the bin. And maybe not the most environmentally friendly way, but it is a little bit more than plastic wrap. Wax paper, I always thought, is another good way for wrapping a sandwich. And
oh, yeah.
Parchment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so those are just a couple ideas, and I bet you a lot of our listeners have a bunch of better ideas and
probably
a lot of fabulous ideas for storing containers.
And some innovative ideas out there, some great little workarounds, some fixes there.
Yeah.
So if you have any, absolutely let us know, because we are all about encouraging more responsible eating and more responsible ways of handling our food. So let us know what you're doing.
If you want to let us know, let's give you our email address, which would be theedibleValley@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Definitely, if you want to post something on our Facebook page, it's the Edible Valley Podcast. And then, of course, check out this episode and lots of other episodes on our host sites at Podbean, where you can check us out at theedibleValley.com.
Right.
Which I hope this is where you're listening to us. If not, if you've come to us from one of the other ones, from iTunes, Google Play, all those sites, we're trying to get our message out there and get as many people into listening and hopefully getting them to support our local community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the wonderful food that we have here, and encouraging you to get out and explore your own Edible Valley and sample some wonderful food.
Great. And and thank you so much for listening. And thanks to the Butcher's Block in Courtney. Thanks to the Atlas Cafe and here where we're recording right now, Studio Live in Cumberland. Thanks to Ivan's Truffles and Kirsten Wood Music. Thank you to West Coast Provisions and Signature Oils and Vinegars for all their support and helping us keep this show going. So thank you all. And hopefully we'll hear back from you, and you've got some great ideas for us.
And if you have any ideas for upcoming episodes or things you'd like to learn about food, we'd love to hear from you. So please keep in contact with us. Thank you for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.